Now you've got your children's grade or levels. We talked about that. If your child is 7 or 8 in the school system, they would be in grade 2 or 3. But when you're homeschooling, people ask, you're homeschooling, what grade are your children? I personally would say we homeschool because one of the things that, if you remember, I told you my daughter's vocabulary at age 9 was 12th grade. Her reading level was right on target where she needed to be, but it made her look really awkward. And so the school wanted to give her a label. So when we started homeschooling, just like you, we went and found what levels our children are at. So now you know. Okay, what do you do next? We need to get organized. What does organization look like for your family? Where are you going to homeschool? When are you going to homeschool? So I want to take you on that journey for a moment. And the first thing I need you to do is you need to take care of yourself. There's a first aid Red Cross rule. You take care of yourself before you take care of others. You've heard that a million times. So what does it look like to look at yourself first? We have a chart I want you to look at. It's from 5 a.m. if that's when you get up, all the way through your entire day. What do you do? What do you have time for? When are you tired? Because I'm telling you, after lunch, I'm about done. So I personally need to take a break. And my kids, we called it quiet time because they don't nap anymore. I don't care what age you got going on there. They will not nap. But so how my day looked. At 4:30 in the morning is when I got up because honestly, I was scared to death when I first started homeschooling. I didn't want to do it wrong. I do have some perfectionism to myself and I just wanted to do it right. I loved my kids and I needed to spend time in the Word. I could not have gotten this far if I had not been in the Word every day. So God and I had some agreements. Anna does the coffee machine first and then right dive into the Word. And so that's how I started my day. Then I would start moving to the family. Now, not every season is like that. Some seasons I was just dragging myself out of bed at 9 o'clock in the morning. An example would be my daughter needed to be at the ice rink at 4 a.m. First thing I did was teach that little girl how to make coffee. Good tip. And then my son, the same season, he had to be at a dance studio at 4 p.m. So I took various naps during the day, but I always took time to be in the Word. That was important to me. Then I would set up the day. We chose to do Bible study first thing in the morning. I do need a nap. I told y'all that. So these are the things. From 5 o'clock in the morning all the way down, whatever your time is, that's what you need to look at and what is realistic for you. Every season is different. So start with yourself. That's important. The next thing is, who's going to teach what subject? In my house, I am telling you, I was terrified on the math situation and the science. So we brought in Dad. It's like, hey, honey, would you pick the math and science we need to do? And how are we going to teach them? So having those honest discussions, you could get a neighbor, grandparent, an older sibling. I'm not kidding. I have some older kids. They could teach the younger kids. And it was great because it empowered others and it created relationship and bonds in our family that kids will never forget. And so we had our older brother teach some math sometimes because Dad's work schedule, he would have to travel. So just giving you a few tips and ideas, but you've got to look at yourself first. Take care of yourself first. Know what your limits are. And by the way, my bedtime, I tried to get there at 8:30. So that meant my husband had to go to the dance studio to bring my child home. So those are some of the tips and things that we've done. I hope that part is helpful. because now we need to move into children. One child, five children. What do they need? You've looked at their levels and their grades and where they're placed at academically. Now let's look at their attributes. Let's look at their desires. My son, at certain seasons, I would take a cup of tea to his bed and we would sit and do Bible study because that young man was a ballet dancer and he danced 30 hours that week. But it's important to me to get that word of God in. And so I took tea and went to his room, and that's what we did. Generally, I really wanted everyone to come to the kitchen table, and while we were having breakfast, we were having the discussion, and we were doing a Bible study. At lunchtime was a great time for us as parents. When my husband could come home, he would read. But when our kiddos were young and we wanted to build their vocabulary, one of the things we had done was picked books that we could read aloud as a family. And Nate Bowditch was our family's total favorite. And we got to learn about nautical tools, Latin language, and some of the historical things here in the United States. So this is one of those awesome times for family. Also, my children got to see how I don't know how to read phonetically. I would have to ask, what does this word mean? You know what? It is okay for your kids to see you don't have it all. You have some weaknesses. We all do. It's just whether you're going to admit it or not. And if you know me, I don't like admitting it. Don't like it pointed out either. However, you've gotten to know me a little bit. You know I'm pretty straightforward and blunt. Sometimes that can be not such a good thing. So I want to go ahead and dive into where are we going to homeschool? Is it going to be out on our back porch? Is it going to be in the living room? Is it going to be at my office or your office? Looking at different opportunities to educate your children is fun. At least it's been for me. So when I was at work, they had a room off to the side, or sometimes they sat in the office with me. I created a space for that. Now, what does space look like? For one of my children, they needed to sit on a bouncy ball. Another child had to sit under the desk. Didn't have to. It was a choice. It was comfortable. It's kind of, you get to this place of pick your battles. You need them to read. Well, if they're going to read on a couch, on under a table, out where you can see that they really are reading. Come on. Let's get real. Kids are going to try to get away with not doing as much as they can because they're kids. And by the way, I think that's their job. However, as you develop a relationship and you're motivating your children to do, things are so much easier for you. So looking at where you're going to homeschool. I've had friends that homeschool on a beach. I have had friends that travel in the car. For me, I drove a big SUV. And I had a cooler in the back. And you know those milk crates that you carry around? Each of my children had their own milk crate of their stuff. We need to keep it organized and together. At the end of every single day, we want to make sure that all of our stuff is back in our crate. Pencils, pens, scissors, whatever is needed. One of my daughter, she really liked duct taping things. So there was always some duct tape in hers because her crate could be duct taped, her anything. It was fun. We made it fun. So being organized is really key. Otherwise, you could spend half your day looking for that one book. So organization. When you're traveling, what does that look like? Some of the things you can do is take an index card, one of those small little index cards, write on everything that needs to be in that crate that you have or backpack, whatever you're using, and laminate it and stick it onto the crate or onto the backpack. And it's your child's responsibility to make sure everything on the list is in there. As your children start growing up and being more responsible, you're not going to need to do these little things. Believe me, having these little things in place are so key to success. And by the way, it could be a 15-year-old that you need to have the index card for. Remember, each kiddo has their own learning style, they're different. They're not like you. You've got it together. You're going to make it happen. Well, at least I do. But sometimes I do have to run back in the house and get that one thing. And by the way, I apologize to my kids for being late, being unorganized, and not doing what I'm expecting them to do. That little communication is helping them to realize you're not perfect. So now let's take a look at how do your children learn best. So some things I've seen. My daughter, when it came to memorization, she had to physically move. So seriously, to get Latin grammar and her math facts, she would go in our cul-de-sac and run around in the cul-de-sac. Or she would get on her bike and she would ride her bike. That physical movement helped her with memorization. And I really encourage you to have your kids memorize math facts. And if you choose Latin, with music. And when it comes to math facts, try to get a song all the way up through the 15s. It's going to save you, believe me, when they get to high school. So I want you to be encouraged that you don't need to be sitting at the dining room table or in the living room or at a desk. You can adventure out and do some homeschooling. So another thing that we did was it was really difficult for handwriting, but we want our children to be able to have clear and concise thoughts. So another thing that I did was, yes, my children had iPhones way before most kids, but I was dropping them off at an ice rink and driving away, or downtown Austin and driving away. So my kids had an iPhone. What my daughter did was she walked to a park and she talked out the entire story. She walked a mile and talked it out into that phone. Then she finished it up coming on the way home and she emailed it to herself and did grammar check and spell check. It's all right there on your computer. What we're trying to do is to get our kids to get information out in a clear, concise way. And that's how it worked for my child. Give it a try. It might work for you. And if your dog needs walking at the same time, look, double duty, homeschool dog walking paper written. It's a great thing to do. All right. So what are some of the crazy little things that we did? I wanted my children to really understand and know our community, other areas of the country, and there are some awesome books. It's Paddle by the Sea. When I got my hands on that book, I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a precious children's story. And it took this little hand-carved Indian, and he traveled the Great Lakes to the sea. And the little Indian boat stopped at different ports. What did they have in that area? So here we go. We're traveling, and I love shrimp. I don't know about y'all, but I love seafood. So when we traveled to different places over the next couple of years, we tried shrimp. We tried shrimp in Maryland, in Florida, in San Diego, Gulf Coast shrimp, and we got to learn, why do they all taste different? They're all shrimp. Why are they all different sizes? That's a learning opportunity, and our children helped us plan those trips. That is homeschooling, having communication, working those things out. So what's the very last thing we need to do on this? We need to create our calendar for the year. When are you going to start school? I know a lot of communities in my community, they have a not back to school day party at a local pool. You might have something like that in your community. In our community that we chose to for our homeschool group, we would meet one day a week. And the Monday of Thanksgiving until January, that first Monday in January, we had no formal school. We did volunteer work. We did catch up. But every day we did math and Latin. Those are important to me. For my children to do math and Latin, and also we did Bible study. But we took that break so that we could catch up. And it was really nice for me too. And we could do some volunteer work, but I had athletic kids who had rehearsals and different things like that during that time of year as well. So we really need to look, what is our schedule? My husband gets a couple of weeks off in the summer. So we're going to block that out and maybe have the kids plan a trip or have your kids be part of you planning the trip. Have them apply for their own passport. Figure out where to get a passport. But you need to plan it in your schedule. So for me, in October, and I know you might think this is crazy, but in October this year, I would know what I'm going to be doing homeschool-wise for my kids next August, September. Then in January, I'd start looking for where's my kids going to go to camp so that I can create the syllabus or look at a syllabus and figure out how am I going to teach my children some of these subjects? And by the way, some of those subjects were way over my head. I didn't have that type of education. But remember, we had talked about what is your philosophy in education? And one of mine was, I want my children to have any door open that they want, whether it be college, whether it be a homeschool parent, whether they go into high tech or no tech, no college at all. I want my children to be able to walk into their gifting, what they want. So for me, I had to look at when am I going to get the education needed or how do I find somebody? Now, here's a little funny. My daughter had to get her driver's license. We have a rule in our family, and that is mom and dad, you can use our car, bring it back with lots of gas, by the way. We'll pay your insurance, but if you get a ticket or you're in an accident or something, you have to pay the difference in that insurance. That's our rule. So I hope this doesn't ever come up any other time, but I told my kids, this is the rule. So you might want to consider who teaches you to drive. Is it going to be me or dad, or are you going to find somebody else in the community, or do you just want to pay for classes? We'll pay for classes and you go do that. And so my daughter, she's so precious. She worked with a lady from church and then she came back and said, no, mom, I think you can teach me to drive. And so today my daughter is a great driver. She does really well. And we do have a little bit of a lead foot. I'm just saying, but I taught her. She had seen me drive over the years. She had seen my husband drive. So we gave her the option and choice. So here we are. We've talked about how we're going to organize our homeschooling. We've talked about when, where, what, and who's going to do it. So I've given you a lot of different opportunities to consider. It can be overwhelming. So it'd be a really good idea is start with a plan, take some action, go do it. Do it for a week. And next week, on Saturday morning, have a mimosa for celebration or a cup of coffee of, ooh, I need to rethink this whole situation. Also, get your kids' buy-in. Because if they have a buy-in, they're taking ownership of some of it. So maybe they don't need a list anymore, but there needs to be consequences if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. What does that look like in your family? So I hope this was helpful. Thank you. I have a gift for you. Go to my website and you're going to find some great organizational tools and tips.